Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Next Conversation, Argue Less, Talk More by Jefferson Fisher is a practical nonfiction guide focused on communication, conflict management, and everyday dialogue. Written by a trial lawyer who has built a large audience through short-form advice on handling difficult conversations, the book aims to help readers stop treating tense exchanges as contests to win and instead approach them as conversations to manage with intention. Its emphasis is not on persuasion as manipulation, but on structure, restraint, and clear purpose. The book presents communication as a skill that can be learned through repeatable habits rather than as a vague personal trait. It is especially relevant for readers who deal with conflict at work, in relationships, or in high-pressure settings where emotional reactions often make problems worse. By combining simple frameworks with practical language, it offers a grounded approach to speaking more effectively without escalating tension. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, conversation design replaces reactive arguing with intentional communication. A central idea in the book is that difficult conversations should be designed rather than improvised. Fisher argues that many arguments become unproductive because people speak reactively, focusing on immediate emotion instead of outcome. Conversation design means deciding in advance what the goal is, what needs to be said, and how the other person is likely to hear it. This changes communication from a spontaneous clash into a guided exchange. The importance of this framework is practical. It helps readers move away from the impulse to defend, attack, or prove a point and toward a more strategic way of speaking. In high-stakes settings, that shift matters because the first response often determines whether the conversation escalates or becomes manageable. Fisher's approach is not about scripting every word, but about entering a discussion with enough clarity to avoid drifting into blame, confusion, or needless conflict. Secondly, the three-part system organizes difficult talks into control, confidence, and connection. The book's most distinctive structure is its three-part communication system: say it with control, say it with confidence, and say it to connect. Each stage addresses a different problem in difficult conversations. Control focuses on emotional regulation and self-awareness, because a person who cannot manage their own reaction will often lose the conversation before it starts. Confidence addresses the need to speak clearly and firmly without becoming aggressive or apologetic. Connection reminds readers that communication is not only about expressing a position, but also about recognizing the other person as part of the exchange. This structure is effective because it turns a broad goal, better communication, into a sequence of manageable behaviors. Rather than asking readers to become naturally charismatic or perfectly calm, Fisher gives them a repeatable model that makes the book useful for people who need concrete guidance, not abstract theory. The framework also balances assertiveness with relationship preservation, which is a major strength of the book. Thirdly, restraint and timing are treated as communication tools, not signs of weakness. Fisher places unusual emphasis on restraint, pauses, and delayed responses. In many self-help or communication books, speaking up is treated as the main solution. But here, silence is often presented as a deliberate and intelligent choice. The reasoning is simple: when emotions are high, immediate responses are usually shaped by adrenaline, defensiveness, or the desire to regain control. By pausing before answering, a person gives logic more room to operate and avoids saying something that deepens the conflict. This does not mean becoming passive. Instead, restraint is used to improve the quality of speech and to keep the conversation from being hijacked by impulse. Timing matters because some statements are more effective after a pause, after reflection, or in a follow-up conversation rather than in the heat of the moment. The book's attention to timing makes it especially practical in real life, where good communication often depends less on the perfect phrase than on when it is delivered. Fourthly, framing and boundary setting keep conversations focused and respectful. Another major theme is the importance of framing conversations and setting boundaries. Fisher encourages readers to begin difficult talks by stating purpose and desired outcome rather than opening with accusation or complaint. Framing matters because it shapes the emotional tone of the discussion and reduces the likelihood of defensiveness. If the other person hears the exchange as an attack, they are more likely to protect themselves than listen. By contrast, a goal-oriented frame can make room for problem-solving. Boundary setting is the companion skill in this section of the book. Fisher argues that better communication does not mean tolerating disrespect, endless circular arguments, or emotionally harmful exchanges. Readers are taught that ending a conversation calmly can be an act of clarity, not failure. This combination is important because it shows that effective communication includes both openness and limits. The book does not promote endless discussion. It promotes productive discussion, and that requires knowing when to redirect, when to pause, and when to stop. Lastly, the book favors practical phrases and real-world application over theory. the next conversation stands out because it is built around usable language and immediate application. Rather than spending much time on communication theory, it offers phrases, patterns, and habits that readers can use in family disputes, workplace conflicts, or tense personal exchanges. This makes the book accessible to readers who want guidance they can test quickly. Its legal background also shapes the method Fisher writes, like someone accustomed to watching how wording, timing, and tone affect outcomes in high-pressure situations. That practical orientation gives the book its credibility and its distinct style. At the same time, the focus on action means the book is less about deep psychological analysis and more about behavior change through repetition. Readers are not asked to master a complex academic model. They are asked to use clearer language, slower reactions, and more deliberate choices. This emphasis on application is what makes the book useful for a broad audience, especially people who want communication advice that can be put to work immediately. In conclusion, The Next Conversation Argue Less, Talk More is best suited for readers who regularly face conflict and want a more disciplined way to handle it. That includes professionals, managers, couples, parents, and anyone who tends to react too quickly in tense exchanges. Its value lies in practicality. The book does not merely encourage better communication in theory, but shows how to approach it through control, confidence, connection, framing, restraint, and boundary setting. Readers looking for a communication book that offers usable tools rather than abstract reflection will find it especially useful. What sets it apart from many books in the same genre is its tight focus on everyday application. It avoids treating communication as a personality makeover or a broad motivational project. Instead, it presents a repeatable method for improving the next conversation, which makes the advice easy to remember and test in real situations. For readers who have already encountered negotiation or communication titles, Fisher's book still offers a distinct blend of legal experience, concise language, and a relationship-centered strategy that makes it feel immediate and relevant. If you would like to support Jefferson Fisher, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.